You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
In today's show, we look at the Texans' roster cuts. Yeah, we've been waiting for them. Three waiver wire additions and who's on the practice squad. We've got some strong opinions in this one. Also, some national cuts that we got to get to, but first of all, welcome aboard, everybody. Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, along with co-host Brian Patterson from Fansided's House of Houston.com. Thanks for diving in to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. Since we last talked to you, here are the group of players cut or waived who really came as no major surprise. And I know a lot of people have been, I know you've had a chance to look at them yourself if you're listening out there, but just want to go over these names again. When I'm done, we'll get to the major names, a little bit more major names that they said goodbye to. But first of all, we got Quan Bray, LaVon Coleman, Anthony Coyle, Curtis Drummond, Troy Maine Pope, Michael Pruitt, Mason Gentry, Keenan Gilchrist, Bryce Jones, Jared Jones-Smith, Ufamba Kamalu, Josh Keyes, Kingsley Opara, Nick Rose, Terry Swanson, Nick Thurman, the U of H kid, D Virgin, who was claimed off of waivers already by the Lions, Steven Anderson, Josh Thornton, Latroy Lewis, Giovanni Robinson, and Ibrahim Campbell, who was already claimed by the Cowboys. These players were waived but signed to the practice squad. Linebacker Davin Bellamy, Andre Chachere, O-lineman Kyle Fuller, Roderick Johnson, and Chad Slade. Nose tackle Darius Kilgo. Tight end Matt Langle and wide receiver Jester Wea. Deontay Foreman goes on the PUP list, so he won't be available for at least the first six games of the season. We sort of knew that one was coming. We hadn't seen him, so we figured on that. It also sounds like Jermaine Kelly will end up on our IR. Absolutely no surprise. Hadn't seen him in training camp or the preseason. Now, here are what I'd call the surprises, or at least semi-surprises. This one had everybody talking, this group of players. Shane Leckler, Braxton Miller, David Quesenberry, Corey Moore, who was already claimed by the Colts, Jay Prosh, and fifth-round pick from last year, Treston Dekou. A little bit later, we're going to tell you about a couple of brand-new Texans picked up off the waiver wire, but Brian, of that entire group, who was your biggest surprise?
I would have to tell you my biggest surprise as far as cuts go is Troy Maine Pope. I thought they were going to keep him. He had a really good preseason, and he competed with Tyler. I think he did much better than Tyler. He was much more exciting to watch, and he was explosive with his movements. I mean, he was just so hard to stop. And plus, he was versatile. You could use him on special teams. Tyler Irvin didn't prove anything to me that he deserved a roster spot, but the Texans obviously feel differently about the whole situation. So we're going to give – it looks like they're going to give Tyler Irvin another shot at trying to make this roster because they feel that, hey, you know, we spent a fourth-round pick on him. Let's see what we can squeeze out of him some more. Braxton Miller, I was always on the edge with him. So the fact that he got cut, I thought it was 50-50 with him. But Troy Maine Pope, that's a really surprising one to me because I think, you know, Brian Kane talks about having guys that are ready to go, no projects, that are ready to produce. Troy Maine Pope would have been that guy. He wouldn't have been a project. He's been in the league a few seasons, and he just performed really well. So that's the one that surprised me the most, that we're keeping Tyler Irvin.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you in a little bit why I think Troy Maine Pope, one of the big reasons why he's not on this roster. Now, I asked our Locked On Texans Twitter followers, I put out a poll, who was their biggest surprise? Shane Leckler beat out Quesenberry and Braxton Miller. I figured those would probably be the three big ones. Troy Maine Pope, I didn't figure would surprise most of the Twitter nation, but Shane Leckler received 44% of the votes. Brian, you thought Trevor Daniel had saved his job. I mean, Shane Leckler had saved his job and Trevor Daniel was going to be gone after that last game. But obviously, it was taken in aggregate. They took it in whole, all four preseason games. And when you take it in aggregate, Trevor Daniel won the job fair and square.
It makes you feel that, you know, from this situation that it was a real competition between the two. You know, I was thinking they were just bringing in somebody – you know, just to work them out, to, you know, have to make sure that Shane was on his heels. But this was a true competition. That's what you got out of this. You know, I thought that, you know, Shane's job was safe. And I guess not because of, you know, you have to look at the old adage. What have you done for me lately? And apparently Trevor Daniel, he earned the job. He didn't, you know, Shane Leckler didn't lose his job. As a lot of people have said, Trevor Daniel went out there and earned it. This guy is a very talented punter out of Tennessee. He has a excellent reputation. So, I mean, it's going to be on him. There's a lot of pressure on him because he is following a Hall of Famer, but I would expect him to produce. That's a fresh leg that we hope to see a lot of out there producing really great, right. Good pumps.
Right, right. And I think the thing about Shane Leckler is the next time we're going to see him probably is in the NFL Hall of Fame. Maybe he gets a job somewhere else. Yeah. But I think Shane Leckler, being that he's from this area, he's got a home here. You know, this has been his home most of his life. I doubt, you know, he's going to want to take some other job somewhere else. I don't know how badly he wants to continue his career. I do want to mention what NFL Network's James Palmer tweeted out about Leckler. He said, you know, this is a guy that's been a legend off the field as well. Quote, he's quietly when the Texans got back to Houston during Harvey, says James Palmer, Leckler and his brother took out their boats and set out to help rescue. I tried to do a story with him on it. He refused. He said he wasn't the only one out there in a boat trying to help. Unquote. And that's James Palmer, NFL Network. So if you didn't know that story, that's who Shane Leckler is. That's what he's about. J.J. Watt has already tweeted out his love for Shane Leckler, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more of the Texans. Bill O'Brien went on and on about him on Friday in his press conference. Let me just say this. My biggest surprise, Brian, to nobody's surprise, is David Quessenberry. I thought not only did he earn his way on the team, I thought he was better than Senio Kalamete. Kalamete had the worst Pro Football Focus grades in aggregate for the entire preseason of any Texans player offensively. So from my standpoint, David Quessenberry was a better guard than Kalamete. And I'm shocked that Kalamete is first of all, starting, and that Quessenberry is not on the roster. And we can connect this to something else, because the candidates for biggest surprise that are still on the roster, Vincent Smith is one of them, because we saw Braxton go and we thought there's no way they're keeping six receivers. Not only did they keep six and they didn't keep Braxton, they kept Vincent Smith, the undrafted rookie. So that was a big deal. But Quessenberry's not on the roster, but Kendall Lamb is still there. And I nearly got sick to my stomach, Brian. Kendall Lamb is there and David Quessenberry's not.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. Wow. And, you know, I just, you know, with Kendall, I know the reason why they kept him, because I mentioned this on the show with the uncertainty at tackle with Chantrell Henderson's health and with Martinez Rankin. Yeah, you just don't know how he's going to turn out as a rookie. You want a guy that's experienced in the system. He had some good games with his pass protection. But the Cowboys game, Kendall Lamb, that was by far the worst. We talked about it on the postgame show. Kendall Lamb looked awful. I even said that his stock is dropping like a rock. It would surprise me if he made this team. But as the cuts started coming, the news about what was going on, I noticed that Kendall Lamb's name has not been mentioned. I'm like, this guy's going to make the team. Oh, my God. But again, this – the only reason is because there's some uncertainty. If Chantrell were playing very strong, if he wasn't hurt, I don't think Kendall Lamb would be on this roster right now. You can thank Chantrell Henderson's health. He can thank Chantrell Henderson's health for being able to have a spot on this roster.
And I'm shocked that Chantrell is hurt, because he's never hurt. So we knew. Come on. We knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But Kendall Lamb, I mean, boy, that kid's living the life, man. He's catching some breaks. But, hey, I know you want to take some more shots, Brian, and not just shots that you might think about as shots, and we're going to tell you about that. But first, I know you want to talk about MyBookie, because the NFL season's almost here, and that's a good time to get MyBookie into your favorites on your computer.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. Do you have the Patriots or do you have the Texans? Chicago or Detroit? Well, let me tell you this. where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why I always tell my people to go to mybookie.ag. They've been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payout. Seriously, just 2 business days. I would recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. That's money in your pocket quickly. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate your offer and visit MyBookie.ag today or download the app through iTunes or Google Play. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.
All right, Brian, you mentioned Tremaine Pope, and you felt like he should be on the roster. And I know you were a fan of keeping Sha'Sharae, as was I, because he showed some potential. And some people are wondering, where is Joe Webb? Why is Joe Webb not on the roster? Because he was going to be your third-string quarterback, and he was also going to provide you with some special teams play. Well, I looked some stuff up on Pro Football Focus, the grades for the Texans on special teams over their 4-game preseason. And the worst grades were Andre Sha'Sharae, 39.7, ugh, on 36 snaps. It was bad. So that's why he's probably not around. Jay Prosh, 45.1, he's gone. Joe Webb, 44.8, he's gone. Tremaine Pope, 45.8, he's gone. Of the 16 worst special teams grades on the Texans during the preseason, the only survivors were Zach Cunningham, Dylan Cole, and Justin Reed, who totaled only 25 snaps between them. Of course, you know, they get a lot of playing times as regulars. And, oh, yeah, the last survivor was the cockroach himself of that group of the 16 worst, Tyler Ervin. So that explains it, Brian. There you go.
Absolutely. Just another update, because I know the rosters continue to change. Sha'Sharae has been signed to the practice squad. That is confirmed. So he is still with the Texans. He's not on the active roster, but he's on the practice squad. So maybe they feel that they can develop those skills on special teams, because they used him a lot, but he didn't perform all that well. His best bread and butter for Sha'Sharae was in coverage. The guy was terrific in coverage out there with his tackling and being able to disrupt passes, because that's your job as a cornerback. Not really the tackling, because if you're tackling, you're not doing your job. You need to disrupt those passes that are coming towards you when you're being targeted. So he's got another shot there. But, yeah, that makes sense. I guess they feel Tyler Ervin is the guy. He's got a lot of proven. He's got a lot of fessing up to do. I'm still baffled by Tyler Ervin still being on this roster. Why is he still on this roster?
And if Deontay Foreman gets back in a few games, maybe Tyler Ervin isn't around and there's another guy in that mix, and we're going to get to that guy.
Yeah.
But you talk about getting shots and taking shots. Well, taking shots. Oh, well, that brings us to something, because you said, Brian Patterson, quote, if Jay Prosh is not on this roster, if he does not make the Texans, then you said you would not only take a shot, but you would also take one for me. So you would take a couple of shots. Are you ready to take them?
I'm ready to take them right now.
All right, do it.
I didn't believe it was going to happen, but you know it's a new era with the Houston Texans, with Brian Gain running the show. You know it's a different era. Things have changed, and it's all about what have you done for me lately. And Jay wasn't doing that much. He was making millions. He had a 3-year deal. So you know what? I'm going to take a shot to that. And two. And ladies and gentlemen, I am taking shots of water because, you know, we want to keep this a PG rated, the clean show for you guys. So I've taken some 2 big gulps of water. So that way I'll be able to talk to you guys and we're going to give you the analysis that you deserve out there. So this is terrific, though. But I really honestly did not see that coming. It was right up there with the Shane Leckler cut.
We wanted to see an inebriated Brian Patterson the rest of the show. I think it would have made it a little bit more interesting. We could have gotten some bigger ratings, Brian. You missed your chance.
Oh, I had some wine. I had a glass of wine, so I should have brought it in here with me. Should have took some shots of that. So then it would have really gotten interesting with my analysis at that point.
Tip of the cap, though. Like you said, tip of the cap to Brian Gain. They finally pulled the plug on Prosh. It was long overdue. Sayonara, great guy. Love you, Jay. You know, he's a millionaire at this point, you would assume, with the money that he's made. So as long as he's taken care of it, then he should be all right. Next up, though, yeah. Brian's got to make another public apology because not this one to Brian Gain, this one to Peter Kalambayi, because he's still around, brother. He's still around. You couldn't kick him off the team.
And he is on the active roster. I mean, I put him on the practice squad. So, and you're right. You don't want to put a sixth-round pick on the practice squad because there's going to be a good chance somebody's going to sign him off of it. So there is some developmental potential with Peter Kalambayi. There's other guys that you can cut. Obviously, you've seen some of the surprises out there. Let's see what Peter has. And his calling card, we've talked about it, bread and butter. Special teams. That's where, because, you know, we're pretty loaded, you know, on the defensive line right now. Linebackers, you know, he's not going to be able to play that much over there. But you put him over there on special teams, and I think that's where he's going to blossom, you know, as time goes on. Because as the years go by, you know, you're going to have contracts you're going to have to redo. We can't keep everybody. So Peter might have his chance sooner than you know it.
Right. And you talk about special teams for Peter Kalambayi. Let's take a look. He finished fifth on Pro Football Focus's preseason special teams number with the Texans. He was behind Ejiofor, Ryan Griffin, who didn't take really a bunch of snaps on special teams. Jordan Thomas didn't take a bunch either. So essentially, he was third behind Ejiofor, who took 17 snaps. Brian Peters took 27. And Kalambayi took 43 snaps on special teams. So a really good grade for him. Again, you just got to pay attention to special teams if you want to know what's going on with this team. Another positive sign, Brian, the depth of the safety position, Tristan Dekou and Corey Moore, they were released. And you got to look at that as a positive sign, because that tells you that the Texans are much deeper at safety than they have been. And Corey Moore, as much as we liked him, you know, the moments of greatness were not there. The moments of impact were not there. Corey Moore, for me, one of the big memories on the field. And by the way, met the guy. Love him. Such a nice guy. I mean, a really good guy. He's been on the show before. We've talked to him. But Corey Moore, I will remember mostly the dropped interception in that Patriots game last year that would have cinched it for the Texans. And unfortunately, you know, that might have been the difference. You know, he makes plays like that. And he's still on the team, but it's a positive sign. We have to look at some things that when guys go, sometimes it's a good thing, because that tells you, hey, they've got depth that they didn't have before.
Yeah. And I still, you know, I'm in disagreement with the cutting of Corey Moore. And I was very much on the fence with Ibrahim Campbell, because Ibrahim Campbell, whenever he was out there, he was disrupting. He was making plays himself. Obviously, the Cowboys see something in him. I saw Divergen, out on the practice squad. I thought he would have the potential to be put back on there, but the Lions already see something in him. So good for D. There's still a lot of development with him, but the Lions must feel, and with Matt Patricia probably made the call himself. He thinks that he's a guy that maybe they can go in and develop.
Okay, the whole offseason, nationally, to a great extent, locally, the concern was about the offensive line. But the Texans cornerback situation, should it make you nervous? Yes, it should. A big, emphatic yes, because nobody who the Texans have kept were in the top 70 last year, according to Pro Football Focus. So you got Jonathan Joseph, who's 34 years old with recent injury problems. And again, he wasn't even in the top 70 of the cornerbacks that they graded. Aaron Colvin, primary a slot cornerback. Maybe he was he in the top 70? Maybe I got that wrong. Maybe he might have slipped into the top 70.
I think Joseph was. I think Jonathan Joseph was. Aaron Colvin, he was just using the slot, so he probably didn't have any opportunity to get his numbers up.
Yeah, I don't think Joseph was in that, because I looked and he, like I said, he was around the same as Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, and both of those guys were out of the top 70, I noticed. Kevin Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Also, we know that
worst grade.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Ever.
can't stay on the field. You know, terrible last year. Kayvon Webster, journeyman coming off of an ACL injury. Johnson Bottomosi, just a special teams ace, and they have added a couple of guys on in the secondary. One of them may play safety, one may play corner. We're still not sure about that one, but one of them definitely they signed to the corner position. At least that's the way they're saying it in their press release to the media. So take that for what it is. We're going to get to that, but just want to mention also notable former Texans who were cut. John Simon got released by the Colts, and Xavier Suofilo, I know this shocks everybody, he got released by the Titans. Brian, was there anything else that you wanted to mention among the cuts or the guys that they were keeping?
You read my mind because I didn't know you were going to mention it, but I wanted to talk about that. Xavier Suofilo, I need to say this. I mean, if you can't make it in another system, another team picks you up, you can't make it in that system. And obviously, I've got to put Xavier Suofilo up as far as top five bust of all time for the Texans. I've got to do it. I mean, especially you're in Matt LaFleur's system, a system that won the Super Bowl. You can't make it in that? I mean, come on. You got to suck in that situation. And I think the system's far superior than the one that we're running here in Houston. So obviously you know that there's an issue. But you know what? Suofilo is going to stay employed because he's an offensive lineman, and that is a need that teams have. He may not be employed now, but not for long. When the season starts and injuries start to mount, somebody's going to sign him just for the fact that they need a body out there, because that's what he was for the Texans all those 4 years that we had him.
All right, in just a bit, I've got some brand new Texans to detail. But first, if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell your friends. Let them know they can find us on Spotify, the Google Podcast app, iTunes, and most anywhere you find your favorite podcasts. Do us a favor, share the links to our show with your social media followers. We need you to be advocates for us. I mean, we do what we can, but we need your help. And I hope you can help us. We also want you to be a part of the conversation. So I know some of you are listening out there thinking, why isn't Robert talking about this? Or what is Brian talking about? Or why didn't Brian mention this? Or, you know, Robert's such an idiot. Well, just let us know. Email us, LockedOnTexans@mail.com for questions or comments. That's LockedOnTexans@mail.com. All right, here are three new Texans claimed off waivers. Running back Buddy Howell, safety Natrell Jamerson, and cornerback A.J. Moore. Howell was waived by the Dolphins, Jamerson by the Saints, and Moore by the Patriots. Natrell Jamerson was a fifth-round pick of the Saints this year. He was a fifth-round pick. By the way, the Saints cut their fourth, fifth, and sixth-round pick from April's draft. So that's of note. Jamerson moved to safety last season, his senior year at Wisconsin, after 2 years at wide receiver, 1 year at cornerback. So this is a new position that he's learning. The Texans had worked him out prior to the draft, and it's worth noting he had two special teams tackles in the preseason, 20 career special teams tackles in college, and also return kicks. So throw that into the mix. So he is not just a one-trick pony. And the Texans, we know, love versatility. In four preseason games with 89 snaps, Jamerson's Pro Football Focus defensive grade was 63.5, which, Brian, it's good. It's good. I mean, guy that's a rookie, and like we said, it's a new position relatively for his football career. That's a good thing. So Natrell Jamerson, what did you think about that one?
I think he's the brightest of all the waiver wire signings that we had. Just looking at his Pro Football Focus numbers, yeah, they're pretty solid. 63 on defense, his highest grade out of all of them, and his coverage grade's not too far behind at a 63. So not great, but I think this is a guy that you could have come in and help us at the position that helps with depth. This guy can run a 40 and a 4.4, so that's pretty darn good as well. He's a speedy corner, and this is what the Texans want. They want to get stronger, longer, faster. This is a guy that can do it. With A.J. Moore, there's too many question marks, and just his numbers that he's put up, I'm not too impressed, but obviously the Texans see something in him. And Greg Howell, he didn't even get a chance to see the field with the Dolphins when he was there in the preseason. You know, they cut him from the roster, so he didn't get to see it that much. So I don't know what they plan to do with him. But out of all the guys, great point. Natrell Jamerson is going to probably be one of the guys off the waiver wire that we're going to see pretty close to immediately.
A.J. Moore, an undrafted free agent, played 39 games at Ole Miss, 48 tackles, one sack, and three pass deflections as a senior. Three special teams tackles in his preseason games with the Patriots. So that's worthy of note. In two preseason and 89 total in two preseason games and 89 total defensive snaps, his Pro Football Focus defensive grade was a 55.5, very mediocre at best. But this is an undrafted free agent. Buddy Al rushed for 2,424 yards and 22 touchdowns at Florida Atlantic as a running back, was an undrafted free agent as well. Four preseason games, 44 total offensive snaps. His Pro Football Focus grade was a 78.2, which was ranked second best on the Dolphins offensive roster. So this is a kid that might be somebody worth looking out for, but Buddy Al, they felt like was a better option, Brian, than Troymaine Pope. That's, you know, that's the thing that I gather from that they liked what he showed during the preseason and what they knew about him over Troymaine Pope.
No way. I just, absolutely. I mean, I guess, you know, I'm not a scout. I'm not in the room every day. And if I was, I still, just with my trained eye, I would still think Troymaine Pope is a better pick for this team. I think he really would have been able to help us. Who knows if he's available? We may be able to sign him again. But again, the old adage, you know, I keep saying there's many adages out there, but the best one I think for the NFL is running backs come a dime a dozen. You could find, you know, a capable running back as long as he's able to do what you're asked to do on the offense. You know, he may be just as productive, but I just thought that Pope was just so versatile, and that's what sets him apart from the rest of the guys out there on the roster right now.
This is a cool little note that my friend Nick sent me that I just thought was kind of funny. So Brandon Whedon is actually one of eight former Browns quarterbacks expected to be second string quarterbacks in the NFL this year, meaning 1/4 of the entire league is, as far as backup quarterbacks, are Browns, former Browns. Cade McCown, McCoy, Colt McCoy, RG3, Kessler, Whedon, of course, like I mentioned, Brock Osweiler, Kaiser, and Hoyer. So three of those guys are Texans or former Texans, you know, so they've spent some time in Houston. That's an interesting note. Also, the Raiders, we got to get to this. The Raiders are idiots. They trade Khalil Mack to the Bears for a couple of first-round picks. So the Raiders, Brian, trade one of the young premier pass rushers in the NFL just for, I don't know what the purpose of this, just another sign that their owner, Al Davis's son, he's an idiot. And from what I hear, John Gruden, I think it was just within the last couple of weeks, somebody asked him about it. He had one conversation with Khalil Mack, your best player, and the guy that was holding out. No idea what they're doing, but congratulations to Bears fan. That's a legit, potentially top five defense this year.
Exactly. Yeah, it felt like they traded a bag of chips for a guy that's probably could be on his way to be a future Hall of Famer. I mean, you know, it's too early to tell, but that just the type of talent that has come out of him, that has been oozing out of him, is definitely a telltale sign. So Raiders Nation, I feel for you. I've talked to a few of Raiders fans that I know, and they're sick to their stomach on this situation. Yeah, but I think that's just John Gruden and his ego. I mean, he thinks that, you know, they'll be fine without him, but honestly, you know, I have no idea why they wouldn't do it. Maybe it was the money that he wanted, you know, it was a business move. But you think those first round picks, I mean, you want somebody, you want to be able to win this year, but maybe they don't have that type of you know, atmosphere.
It's not just that. It's not just about the fact that you want to win this year. You want to win for years to come. Khalil Mack he's like in his mid-20s. He's not an old man. And yeah, you're getting two first-round picks, but they're likely now later first-round picks because you just made the Chicago Bears a hell of a lot better of an NFL team. I don't get it. The Broncos, another team that everybody thought, oh, they're brilliant because, you know, they were in the Super Bowl a few years ago and they won the Super Bowl against Carolina. And boy, they were so brilliant. They had Gary Kubiak as their head coach and won a Super Bowl. But the Broncos cut half of their 2017 draft class and 2016 first round pick Paxton Lynch, the quarterback that some people thought the Texans should have gone after. This is a purge This 2017 purge, it makes Rick Smith look halfway decent. The 2017 draft looks about as awful as that 2013 Texans draft with Brennan Williams, Sam Montgomery, Trevardo Williams, Alan Bonner, and Chris Jones. The Broncos waived from 2017 third-round pick wide receiver Carlos Henderson, third-round pick Brandon Langley, a cornerback, fifth-round pick wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie, and sixth-round pick running back D'Angelo Henderson Bryan. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, and, you know, it just goes to show that John Elway, he's human. He can make mistakes, too. I mean, just because they won a Super Bowl doesn't necessarily mean anything. So, you know, had some mulligan there. But I think the Broncos are going to be pretty decent this year. You know, they'll probably be right at 8-8 or maybe 9-7. But I don't expect much more from them. Such a competitive division that they're in.
Yeah, lots more stuff to get to around the NFL. And we might get into a little bit later also with Andy Rio, our fantasy expert. We talk fantasy, but we also talk about what's going on in the league in general. It's a conversation that we hit on some Texan stuff, but we talk a lot about the general stuff as well as from a fantasy perspective. But you want to stay tuned for that. We definitely are going to have more to talk about with the Texans roster construction. There may be some more moves to come. I mean, we're not even close to the first game. We still got a week to go as Brian and I are speaking on Sunday night. So keep that in mind. Don't forget also that Brian's got you covered with everything that's going on in Houston sports on houseofhouston.com, a fan site affiliate. As well as I keep you covered, Rockets and Astros and other stuff on Houston Sports Talk on my podcast. Just find that anywhere you find your regular podcast, iTunes, the Google Podcast app, et cetera, et cetera. That's all we got for this one, though. Hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, we want to hear from you, LockedOnTexans@mail.com. Let us know what you think. But as always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans. Your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.